and thank you for joining me, New Moon Mom, on my podcast for parents, pagans, and everything in between. Join us as we talk about raising heathens and burning sage. Hello, welcome back to New Moon Mom. For those of you who are still hanging out with me, oh my goodness, thank you so much. I just realized that my last podcast was in March, before the world really started falling apart. And with two little ones at home and having to become a homeschooler and shutting down two businesses, we got busy. So we had to take care of those fires. Thankfully, school is coming to an end. The businesses are doing all right. We'll see what the next couple of months brings. But we found some moments of normalcy, I call them. Moments where we can actually kind of get back to what we've been used to and what we've been practicing, and really seeing where we're at and how we can build from that. I'm really excited to kind of get back to making a podcast and talking about things that I love and things that I'm passionate about, and appreciating the fact that you guys are listening to this too. So thank you. And if you're listening to this in the future, what I'm referencing is the year 2020. It has been a poop show. And hopefully it gets better. That's our hope. So much incense, so many candles. Anyway, so we have a fantastic Sabbath coming up that I want to talk about today, called Alban Hethen, or Midsummer, or Litha, or the longest day of the year, summer solstice, all the fun, wonderful, wonderful things that go with this holiday, and what we do to celebrate it, and what it means to us, and share those ideas with you, and maybe help you get into the spirit of getting back into your practice with your family, and, you know, just really kind of grounding yourself back into the world in a safe, magical practice sort of way, if that makes sense. And hopefully it does. So, Alban Hethen, Litha, Midsummer, yay! It falls on June 21st this year, I believe. Normally it happens between the 15th and the 21st or the 23rd, depending upon where the sun's at, you know, because if the sun's not ready for it to be the longest day, guess what? Not the longest day. So we're at the behest of the sun's rotation, or our rotation around the sun. Oh my goodness, let's get that straight. We rotate around the sun. All right, maybe I should go back to school. My kids are in so much trouble with me homeschooling them. So many worksheets. I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, so it's the longest day of the year, and we're dealing with a day that is just entrenched in solar magic, entrenched in the energy of the earth, of growth, of fertility, of abundance. The harvest is starting. All of the seeds, the intentions, the ideas, the magic that we started working with back in Beltane, back in Yule, when we were coming out of the dark half of the year, what we were looking forward to before all the crazy, what we were looking forward to build in this year, we should start to see some of those roots taking hold, some of those flowers of our intentions starting to bloom, and, you know, some of the physical flowers of the seeds that we planted in our gardens are starting to bloom as well. So we're dealing with all sorts of amazing, wonderful things. Fire, sun magic, the Holly King returns, and so let's talk about that. All right, so for in our tradition, Alban Hethen, Midsummer, is a transition point. Throughout the year, if we were to take the year and divide it specifically, you know, right down the middle, we'd have summer and spring on one side and fall and winter on the other. And when we're dealing with, you know, earth-based magic or earth-based religions and practices, we normally focus on the female aspect of it, the fertility, the creation, the cycle of the year through the feminine divine. What the solstices provide us with is the almost like the male energy aspect of it, where for our tradition, where I'm at, is we have the holly and the oak king. So your tradition or what you're practicing might have something very similar, where there's a light and a dark aspect. So for us, as we reach the summer solstice, what we're looking at is the return of the Holly King, who rules over from now till Yule. So the Holly King rules over fall and winter, so the dark half of the year. And then come Yule, the winter solstice, there's another switch where we go to the Oak King. And the Oak King is the lighter half, the lighter energy, and he rules through spring and summer. Now, there's a lot of stories and mythos about the Holly and the Oak King and what they represent and why this happens and their continuous battle. And there was a great children's book called, I think it was just called The Holly King, and you can find it online, and we have it for our boys and we read it around the winter solstice, but it works at the summer solstice as well. We also have, there are a lot of kids' books for the summer solstice. There's one called The Longest Day. I recommend picking that up. It's really, really great. Very simple to read. It goes into a lot of different cultures, which I found very insightful and informative. And it was broken down into bite-sized pieces so that kids could really get it. My 8-year-old really enjoys reading it. So, but, you know, he loves reading. So we put the books in front of him and he reads them. And The Longest Day. And then I believe the other one was called The Longest Night, and that has to do with the winter solstice. So those three books, The Holly King, the Holly and Oak King, and The Summer Solstice, The Longest Day and The Longest Night, I recommend looking those up for your kids if you're interested in getting some books for them to read. But for a more kind of grown-up approach, what we have is there's a great chapter from The Golden Bough that kind of explains what this transition is between the two phases. And so sometimes it refers to the King of the Woods. The Holly and the Oak King are two aspects of the King of the Woods, or the King of the Wood, depending upon who wrote it or who's reading it. And it's a great passage, so if you could bear with me, I am not a very proficient reader, but I'm going to try my best to get this out correctly. So from The Golden Bough, talking about the killing of the King of the Wood, or the tree spirit, he says, "His life must therefore have been held very precious by his worshippers, and was probably hedged in by a system of elaborate precautions or taboos, like those by which, in so many places, the life of the man god has been guarded against the malignant influences of demons and sorcerers. But we have seen that very value attached to the life of the man god necessitates his violent death as the only means of preserving it from the inevitable decay of age. The same reasoning would apply to the King of the Wood. He too had to be killed in order that the divine spirit incarnated in him might be transferred to in its integrity to his successor." So what all that means, we're going to go back and break it all down, is that when we're dealing with the Oak King and the Holly King on the solstices, they are two aspects of the same being, and each aspect is only able to rule because the other has, quote-unquote, died or been taken over. So the Holly King is about to come into power, and he is going to rule through the darker half of the year. And then come winter solstice, the Oak King will win, and he will rule over the lighter half of the year. So that's what the solstices really represent in this day and age, is this shift of power between this basically the same entity, the King of the Wood, and his two aspects. And that was probably a lot heavier than our normal conversations that we have about it. But I wanted to make sure that I touched upon that because it is such an integral part of these holidays. And their celebration. So for a celebration, there's all sorts of fun things that you can do that are much lighter than having to deal with the death of these man-god aspects. I wanted to, because it's 2020 and COVID-19 and the world is amazingly hectic right now, I wanted to let you all know that Stonehenge will be actually live casting the summer solstice this year. So if you have a second, you can actually go to the Stonehenge Facebook page and you can watch the summer solstice from Stonehenge. I would highly recommend it if you're able to, and I would recommend, you know, maybe getting a solstice viewing party going and really, you know, embracing this together but apart aspect of our lives right now, that you could get together a party of people on a Facebook Watch or Zoom or something like that and live stream the Stonehenge event. I would highly recommend that as one of the many ways to celebrate this upcoming holiday. This holiday is all about sun magic. It's about embracing the power and the abundance that the sun gives us and the harvest that's about to happen because of the sun and where we stand with it. So if you have planted your gardens, you've probably noticed a lot of stuff is starting to come up. I would highly recommend harvesting some herbs. My lemon balm is in full swing. It's a small tree right now and I'm loving it. So I have lemon balm and I have some lavender that I've been growing. So what I'm going to do is actually make sun tea. Now sun tea is just so simple and so beautiful. Basically what you do is you take a nice clean jar, because I know that you've got some jars in your house. You take a nice clean jar and you fill it with some nice filtered water. This is one of those occasions when I would say I would bypass rainwater or anything like that. If you're going to be ingesting, please use clean filtered water. And you would take your herbs. So for me, it would be lavender and lemon balm, maybe a couple slices of fresh lemon. Who knows? If I've got it, I'll use it. And you would put it into the water in the jar, seal it, put the jar out in the beginning of the morning and let it steep in the sun, and the sun will warm the tea. So you're harnessing the energy and the power of the sun, and you're encompassing that, and you're combining it with these herbs that are relaxing and rejuvenating and that you've grown or that you've harvested or that you've purchased, which is just, purchasing is modern day harvesting. All right. I'm just going to put that out there. If you collected it through some means, you've harvested it. and it's in there and you let it sit for a good couple of hours. And then once you see the colors change and you see it kind of, maybe there's a little condensation on the top of the jar and you see it kind of, the warmth of the sun has entered into it and the herbs are starting to release their nutrients and their magic. Take a second, open it, give it a good, you know, breathe it in, strain it out, and then you have a solar tea. And it's one of those set and forget things about magic that I personally love. Solar teas are super easy and, you know, you just set it out on your deck, go take care of your garden, maybe mow your yard, play with your kids, do some other fun stuff and crafts, and then come back to it and enjoy it. So that's my first suggestion for how to celebrate the summer solstice, is just with solar tea. You are drinking the sun's energy once you've done that. And what a great way to, you know, incorporate that power into, so simply, into your day. The other thing I would recommend that's kind of easy to do is to make God's eyes. Now, God's eyes are small, tiny little crafts that you can do with your kids, and there are tons of instructions online. But basically, you take two sticks. You can find the sticks, you can buy the sticks, and some string, and you tie it into a little cross, and then you weave the string around the four points. And you build it up and up, and you can change the patterns, and you can, you know, make it colorful. You can make it, you know, representative. Whenever I do these with my kids, I use yellow, orange, white, red, solar colors, colors that we think about for warmth and fire. This is a very fire time of the year. So reds, orange, yellows, whites, all those things that think of warmth and fire and that energy and that passion behind it. Speaking of passion, it's also a great time. It's a very common time for weddings, hand fasting ceremonies, just fertility. Yay. It's a very fertile time of the year, the light half of the year. Not for me, but maybe for you. And if it is for you, I hope that it's all going well. And these are great times to really call upon the energy for fertility and stuff like that. Fertility magic is huge right now. The earth is growing. Everything's growing. It's a solstice. So it's also one of those times of the year where the veil between the two worlds is really thin. So it's an amazing time for divination. Now, the type of divination that you want to do depends upon you, depends upon what you're called to towards. Personally, I'm still working on this part of my practice. I haven't found anything that really like clicks with me that I'm like, yeah, this is my jam. But I have recently been getting into tea leaf reading. And because it's a visual thing and I love visualizing, you know, the crafty aspect of the craft has always really been a strong point with me. So I'm getting into tea leaf reading, and actually at the end of this, I will talk about a book that I recently got that I think a lot of people would really enjoy. So we've got the other forms of divination that you can really look into is maybe cloud scrying. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but remember when you were a kid and you would try and find images in the clouds? Like, how summer is that? It really is. It's like just lying on the grass looking at the clouds because you got nothing else to do. And you know what? If you don't have anything else to do because you can't do anything else, maybe lying down in your backyard and looking up at the clouds with your kids for a little bit is a great way to pass some time. Ask your kids what they see. Take a journal out, maybe note it down, and then, you know, maybe go and research what that symbolism is that you saw in those clouds. It's a great time that people also kind of connect with the fae, with the fairies. Again, not something that I've actually put into my practice, but it's, you know, hey, if it's your jam, it's your jam. And I encourage all sorts of practices here. So those are a couple of fun things just to get off on. So sun teas, God's eyes, cloud scrying, divination, fire, bonfires, lighting candles. Oh, altars. Let's talk about altars real quick. So the midsummer altar should be a celebration. It should look like an explosion of flowers and herbs and, you know, maybe things that you're growing in your garden. It should be beautiful and light and rainbows and just sun. You think about the sun, like you should see the cheeriness of the sun on your altar when you're thinking about changing things up. So things that you can add on to it are like, you know, amber. Amber is very sun for me, and you know, moonstones also, because maybe a moonstone because we're entering the the darker half of the year in a little bit. So maybe we're starting to think that little creeping in of that darker half. And, you know, you can also do, what else? Jade. Oh my God, I love it. It's so pretty. And Tiger's Eye. Yeah, that's another great, like, sun. I think of, like, the sun with that one. And it's so, oh, you could also use mugworts and lemon balm. Lemon balm, like I said, is just abundant for me right now. So mugwort is another sort of, like, it grows up everywhere around this time. And so it's a very seasonally appropriate herb for where I am, for our area. So what I would do is probably take mugwort and lemon balm and create a charm, or you know, if you're going to do like a mojo bag or like a something that you can carry on yourself for health, I would add those two herbs into it. And I would also look towards maybe like cleaning up your tarot cards, maybe taking them out, giving them a little shake. It's a great time for divination, like we said. And, you know, you, if you've been neglecting your tarot cards because there's been a lot going on, maybe it's a great time to do a solstice spread. Maybe it's a great time to kind of just see what's out there and what the world has for you. It can't all be doom and gloom. There's got to be something good out there. I can feel it. Something good's coming this way. And that'll kind of bring us to this next section about the tarot card that I want to talk to you guys about. And lo and behold, can anyone guess? It's the Sun card! So when dealing with your tarot, the Sun card will come up every once in a while. And it's a trump card in the tarot deck. And they're often called major arcana. So what you'll normally see on the Sun card is an infant riding a white horse under a sun that has a face on it with sunflowers in the background. Maybe it depends upon what deck you have and how the artist depicted it, but basically you'll see the sun, you'll see an infant on a horse. And the card, usually when it's upright, it means, you know, happiness, joy, and harmony, and good fortune. It represents things kind of coming together and agreeing with the path that you're walking and moving you forward into something greater. And normally the words that we kind of associate with it is, you know, marriage, success, joy, vitality, enlightenment. Its elements are fire. The ruling planet is sun. I know, shocker, right? But in reverse, it could mean false impressions, sadness, lack of clarity. It might mean that you need to focus on something more. So when you see it come up, if you're doing divination or if you're doing a tarot spread, just remember the baby's always happy face up. So that would be the Sun card. Yay! So I hope you're enjoying learning about tarot as I am. And that there's always something to be gained by practicing. And that's what I'll actually be doing after this. And then for the book for today, I wanted to tell you guys about this great book that I got. Now, I have to, full disclosure, a friend of mine wrote it. Actually, my high priestess wrote it. And I'm so proud of her and her co-author that they got through so much to get this book out, and it's a huge accomplishment for them. And the book is called Reading the Leaves. It's about tea leaf divination, which also kind of falls into this time of year and the thinning of the veil. And this book is so much fun. It goes through the history of tea leaf reading. It goes through the meaning of the images that you might see. It goes through the different types of cups that were made, the history of what types of tea came over when, and like what the meaning on the cups, the actual design on the cups, teacups that they used to make is. And then it also has some recipes to enjoy with your tea, which I was a huge fan of. And it's just, it's a fun book. So if you get a second, and I'll put a link in the show notes, it's called Reading the Leaves by Leanne and Sandra. And I'm so proud of them, and I love the book, and it's so much fun, and it's happy. And everyone needs a little bit of happiness right now. So I think, actually I still can't talk for half an hour. So I hope you were able to kind of hang with me through all of that. My notes weren't that great, and I kind of jumped around a little, but I appreciate all of the support, and I appreciate you guys sticking with me through this, and I hope that to get another episode up soon, hopefully within 2 weeks. So enjoy your Sabbath. Enjoy hanging with your family. Enjoy the warm summer days that are coming. Enjoy the power that you have within yourself. And as I say to my boys before I send them out into the world, be awesome, be good, be kind. See you next time. Bye. So also one more thing. Before we say goodbye, I wanted to mention that I was asked to teach a class. I know. So that's another reason why I haven't done a podcast in a while is the Hex Educational Network asked me to teach a class on magical herbs and kids, and I'm very excited to be offering the class, and you'll be able to find a link to it through my Instagram account in my the link in my bio. So if you're interested in learning about herbs and magic and how to incorporate that with your kids, please feel free to check out the link. It's $40 for the class, but it's an online class and you'll have access to the recording. So yeah, if you could join me, I would love to see you. All right, take care. Bye.